Hank Stone is at the Grey Horse Tavern. And El Teatro Experimental Yerba Bruja presents Arts on the Move in Brentwood. That's a new series starting. That's at 7 p.m. at Coma Lapa. If you're a local venue, band, or promoter and want to get your gigs on the concert billboard, send an email to Scene. That's S-C-E-N-E at WUSB.FM. As always, thanks for listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And it's exactly... And it's... Hello, is anybody there? Okay. This microphone's all messed up. How about that? This is WUSB Stony Brook. Why can't I hear myself? Okay, I don't know if anybody... Oh, there I am. Okay, I'm here. All right, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Okay, am I heard? Oh, there I am. That's much better. I don't know what happened before. I couldn't hear myself, and I don't think you could either. But, yeah, I hit a few things, and that seems to have done the trick. So, welcome. Another exciting edition of Off the Wall here on a Tuesday night. I guess, you know, when you have doubts, you just got to hit, you know, strike out, and that fixes things. Yeah, that's the way I was brought up. It seems to work, right? Yeah, no, don't do that. We're going to try to take some phone calls tonight, 631-632-9872, because next week we're going to be in the middle of our, or actually at the beginning of our October fundraiser, which I think goes into November as well. And the goal is to keep us going, keep this radio station on the air, to keep the programming coming your way, and to maybe fix the microphone every now and then. And, yeah, so next week we won't be able to take phone calls quite as easily as tonight. So write down the number, 631-632-9872. I'd like to hear your opinions, feelings on world events and maybe things going on in your life if they're interesting, and all sorts of other things like that. What's been going on this week? Well, let's see. A lot of things, I guess. Well, Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize. And my God, the bitching and complaining never stops. It's unbelievable. This guy, no matter what he does, is going to get it from all sides. That's just the way it is. I mean, I think he knew that going into the job. But seriously, some of this moaning and complaining that I'm constantly hearing is really getting on my nerves. You know, first of all, the Republicans use this as an opportunity to ask the age-old question, well, what has he done? He's done absolutely nothing. He's completely ineffective. Hasn't accomplished a damn thing. And Saturday Night Live put out some kind of a skit where they make fun of him. And that, my friends, is seen as the turning point. Yeah, when Saturday Night Live, yes, when they come out and do some kind of spoof on you and you're the president, that's the sign that you're in trouble. It's incredible what we take seriously. They put out this, I haven't actually seen it, but they put out this the sketch that basically lists all these things that Obama supposedly has not accomplished. A full 10 months into his first term, all these things that he said he was going to do and has not done. Has not closed Guantanamo Bay. Well, you know what? That was supposed to take a year to start with. It's probably going to be late. These things tend to run late. You know, you ever try to do something with a whole lot of people looking over your shoulder and other people trying to get in your way every step? Sometimes things take a little longer. Has he about face? Has he said, well, no, we shouldn't close Guantanamo Bay. It's a good idea after all. No, I don't think so. Hasn't overhauled health insurance like he said he was going to. My God, you know what's incredible to me is that the very people that are criticizing him for not accomplishing this are the same people who are trying to derail it every step of the way. Yeah, I mean, it boggles my imagination that they actually are getting away with saying things like this without being questioned severely. You know, if the Republicans had not voted against virtually every compromise that Obama made from the start, which I think was a big mistake, actually assuming that they would work with him and be reasonable, no, it doesn't work that way. Sorry. Should have gone in there with the most radical health care plan possible and then had them compromise down to something which is what you started with. He thought they were going to be reasonable. He started with something that was already a compromise, and you saw how they reacted to that. Socialism. Socialism is around the corner. People are being indoctrinated everywhere. Obama won't produce his birth certificate. He's leading it, leading this call to socialism and communism and all kinds of other evil things. All this because of the severely weakened healthcare initiative that finally was introduced. And yet they come and say that he hasn't accomplished anything because he didn't overhaul healthcare. The same people who continuously try to derail that and vote it down. It just never ends. And now he's nominated, or actually he won the Nobel Peace Prize, and somehow that's his fault too. You know, somehow this proves that he hasn't done anything and everybody's just enamored with his superstar status. You know, if you read what the guy said, he clearly didn't want this, didn't feel he deserved it. Yeah, he could have turned it down, but I think that would be seen as an insult, a slight against the Nobel Peace Prize people. I'm not sure how many times that's been done in the past, but I'm sure the people that are bitching about him getting the award would be saying something about how he doesn't know how to conduct himself in international affairs if he did something like that. Instead, you know, I think it's something that we should all take a good look at and say, wow, you know, the rest of the world actually views the United States in a completely different light now. And that's a bit inspirational. That's something that we can work with. That's something that we can use to further change down the road. And so, while he may not be out there building houses with his bare hands or tilling the fields or curing sick people or somehow figuring out how to get money into the hands of the destitute, you have to say that we live in a different world now than we did a year ago, and that this country's image is radically changed from less than a year ago. and that many, many people all around the world have been inspired by this and are working in completely different ways. Look at what happened with Russia, for instance, with the missile defense program that Bush was pushing, and that completely polarized Russia and made us into enemies again, and the whole Cold War thing was starting up. And in a single afternoon, Obama was able to derail that and say, you know what, that's a stupid idea, we're going to do it this way instead, and we're not going to piss off Russia. And now all of a sudden we're talking to them again. Now all of a sudden, it's civil. And yeah, there are still a lot of differences, but at least we're able to talk. At least there aren't threats being thrown around everywhere. There's now hope. And that's just one example. Other examples include speaking to Muslim crowds all around the world, telling them that we are not declaring war on Islam. Getting a lot of people all around the planet to realize that the United States isn't necessarily the great Satan. Opening up dialogue with Iran, but being firm at the same time. And the latest thing, which was on Saturday night, with not Saturday Night Live, but actual just Saturday night, yeah, in real life, where he spoke to a gay and lesbian crowd and said, hey, I'm going to sign the bill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, these are things that the last couple of presidents would not have done. They wouldn't have taken that kind of a chance at addressing a controversial issue. And no doubt, he's going to pay the price for that in one way or another. Actually, in several ways. Because in addition to the Republicans jumping on every little thing and basically trying to panic the American people, in addition to that, you've got the people on the left who are doing almost as bad a job at affecting change, because they're constantly bitching and whining about not having enough get done as quickly as they wanted to get done. Apparently not seeing what's happening on the other side, seeing how difficult it is to get the little bit that's been done so far accomplished. And like I said a few weeks ago, you know, if you add all this up, you add up everybody just basically saying the same thing, that he's not accomplishing anything, it amounts to criticism coming from one source. It's all the same, because you're basically weakening any chance of having things finally changed. You're really weakening it. Now, by all means, criticism is something that we need a lot of, and I have many disagreements. For instance, this whole Afghanistan thing is a big mistake, and I wish that would stop, and I would protest it at every possible step. Of course, we don't seem to have any real opposition in this country to war. I don't see demonstrations. I don't see anything that's considered to be loud and something on the order of the stupid tea parties are happening everywhere in the country. You know, say what you will about the Republicans and the conservatives, they know how to at least give the impression that they're speaking for a lot of people. And they probably are speaking for a lot of people. I don't think they're speaking for the majority of people. But people on the left, they do not do this. There should be protest against both wars. We still are involved in both wars, in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Yet we don't see this. It's died out. Yeah, I know there are some diehards. I know there's some people who camp out in various places and say the same thing day in, day out. But you know what? There aren't enough. There's only a handful. And they're seen as jokes by most people. So that's the way to affect change. Not to simply tear down somebody who I think is doing the best he possibly can do in the current situation, in the current climate, where even the slightest move Even the slightest change is immediately condemned as socialism and a door for terrorism and all kinds of other things, and it goes unanswered. It goes unanswered because other people are busy criticizing for different reasons, rather than standing up to them. They say, well, he's not doing enough. How do you possibly manage to do more when these little tiny changes are met with such panic and outrage? Anyway, looking at the Nobel Peace Prize, he sent his supporters an email through the Democratic National Committee's Organizing for America, Organizing for America group, sharing words similar to those he spoke in the Rose Garden on, I believe, Friday morning. To be honest, I do not feel I deserve to be in the company of so many of the transformative figures who have been honored by this prize, men and women who have inspired me and inspired the entire world through their courageous pursuit of peace. But I also know that throughout history, the Nobel Peace Prize has not just been used to honor specific achievements, it's also been used as a means to give momentum to a set of causes. That is why I have said that I will accept this award as a call to action, a call for all nations and all peoples to confront the common challenges of the 21st century. And, you know, it would be nice if people just sort of came together and said, yeah, you know, that's good, congratulations. It means something. May not be the person I would have awarded it to, but they're the people with the awards, they're the ones that give it out, so, you know, I don't agree with the Academy Awards every year, too. Don't make a big federal case out of it. He's not going to keep the $1.4 million. He's going to donate that to some kind of charity. So that's something else to bitch about if it's not the one you like. Thing is, this gets people thinking. This gets people realizing that, hey, you know, the world is changing. Some people are inspirational in ways I wasn't expecting them to be. Do you remember who won the Nobel Peace Prize last year? Probably not. If you do, you're amongst very few people. So this is good in that it gets it into the minds of many people who might think, well, who might deserve it next year? What is this Nobel Peace Prize anyway? Who's won it in the past? Sometimes you need to just rethink the way these things are done, are given out. All right, so then we have the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, where Barack Obama has faced criticism from the gay community for failing so far to live up to campaign promises, which, again, I take exception to. You know, this is something that you cannot just simply change with a snap of your fingers. Actually, you know what? You can. He can issue a presidential decree, an executive order, saying this is done, this is finished. But can you imagine what would happen to him politically if he did that? It would be seen as going against the people's will. And you may say, well, most people don't agree. Well, you know what? The people who are speaking the loudest, they're the ones that count more because they're speaking loudly. And if he were to do this, you can bet they would speak incredibly loudly and they would say all kinds of things that would go completely unchallenged by the other side because they'd be busy bitching about something else instead. So it would be political suicide. Instead, what he did was send what I consider to be a very courageous message and say, yes, I am your friend. I will sign this bill when Congress actually gets off their ass and does something. So if you want to put pressure on anybody, put pressure on your local congresspeople, on your senators. Get them to sign this. Get them to push this through, and Obama will sign it when it gets to him. This is more than I expected, actually. This is more to actually go in front of a crowd and say that that you're going to repeal this when it comes across your desk. That's more than I would have expected. So this is a good thing. We cannot afford to cut from our ranks people with the critical skills we need to fight any more than we can afford for our military's integrity to force those willing to do so into careers encumbered and compromised by having to live a lie. He also said he wanted to push Congress to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, the federal ban on the recognition of same-sex marriages, which was signed into law by President Bill Clinton in 1996. Now, former President Clinton had promised to allow gay soldiers to serve openly in the military while campaigning in 1992. Remember that? But in 1993, he signed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And that was intended to be a compromise between those who wanted to see gay men and women serve and those who argued that it would be bad for unit cohesion and morale. That's something to criticize. When somebody promises something in a campaign and then backs down completely and signs this quote-unquote compromise, which has caused so much harm. During the 2008 presidential campaign, Barack Obama vowed to ask military officials and members of Congress to repeal the law. Okay. Where is the broken promise there? This is exactly what he's doing. So, let's look at this as something good, something promising, and let's not let up for a second on the people who can make this happen. And this is true of just about anything that's going on. Healthcare, high-speed rail. You know, I should be bitching right now about the fact that Obama's been in office nearly 10 months now, and I still don't have high-speed rail. What's up with that? You know? All right. So that was on my mind. That was something that just was bugging me because I just keep hearing all this complaining and nobody ever wants to actually do something. I think people want an emperor. They want Emperor Obama, somebody who can just snap his fingers and make all these changes instantly without any debate, without any discussion, just because that's allegedly what he stands for. It's not that easy. Try working with a group of people, just regular people. Try living in a house with more than two people and see how difficult it is to do anything without running into some kind of obstacle and having to alter course slightly or maybe a lot. Try making promises to a bunch of people and see how easy it is to keep those promises, especially when you have other people trying to keep you from keeping those promises and making other promises instead. Point is, you got to recognize a good thing when you have it. Show me somebody out there in the political sphere who has a realistic chance of actually winning in the future. Show me something like that, and you know, we can talk about replacing Obama with somebody better. But honestly, I don't see anybody. I see lots of people that would be great, but do they have a realistic chance? Unfortunately not. And we have to live with that reality. So, and you know what? A lot of these people who would wind up getting elected in a fantasy world would probably wind up acting very similarly, because they would find themselves in this position where all of a sudden it's not as easy as they thought. Dennis Kucinich. Everyone always comes up to me and says, hey, Dennis Kucinich would be a great president. You know what? That guy is never, ever going to win national office. He just isn't. Look at the numbers. Talk to other people. He just, I don't know why. I'm not exactly sure what drives people's mentalities, but you're kidding yourself if you think he's actually going to win an office of that nature. But if he were to win such an office, he would probably be complaining about the exact same things, because he'd find himself in the same position. And he'd have to compromise, and he'd have to do things differently than he planned. So if you can simply recognize that what we have here is better than something we've had in a very long time, and probably better than something we'll have in the future, let's work with that and make it as good as we possibly can, instead of trying to tear it down, which will simply open the door, both in 2010 and in 2012, for the right-wing reaction. That's what we're going to get. He'll be viewed as ineffective, radical, and an exception to the rule that will never happen again. Or we can recognize that we're not going to get everything we want, certainly not right away, maybe not at all, but support the things that we are getting. This whole healthcare thing, it could have gone so differently if people were simply more vocal about the kinds of changes that they want. I mean, the same people who are bitching about the weakened healthcare packages that are slowly going through, those same people, I guarantee, were not out there shouting at their own tea parties or whatever you want to call the things and demanding change. They were probably sitting back just complaining about the fact that change wasn't happening. You can't just sit back and wait for change to happen. You've got to make it happen. That's one thing the Republicans seem to understand now. So, when do we start our tea parties? That's what I want to know. I want to know when there will be loud demonstrations on a daily or weekly basis. You know, they have demonstrations here in Setauket, actually. Every Saturday afternoon, there's an anti-war demonstration. It's been completely taken over by the Tea Party people. Yeah, you go by there now, and you see anti-war demonstrators, but the much louder flag-waving crowd across the street are these Tea Party people that are saying how we're moving into a socialist state and things have to change. And, you know, while I disagree with everything they say, the way they're saying it is effective. I believe, I hope they're the minority, but the way they're acting, you think they have a lot more on their side. And that kind of smoke and mirror trick can work in politics. So it's something to be careful of. I live in fear of what's going to happen next year if this continues, because we will have taken a valuable opportunity, a great chance, and blown it. All right. What else? Okay. Time for some congratulations. Yeah, we're going to completely change course here. But we want to hear from you. 631-632-9872. If people want to call up and talk about this, feel free. You know, this is our last chance before the fundraiser to throw ideas around. But congratulations in order. We talked about the countries last week that made it into the World Cup next year. They were South Africa, Japan, Australia, Korea Republic, which is South Korea, North Korea, Netherlands, Brazil, Ghana, England, Spain, and Paraguay. Well, guess what? The United States qualified this week, along with Germany, Ivory Coast, Denmark, Serbia, Italy, Chile, and Mexico. So all these teams will be in the World Cup next year as well. So congratulations to all those countries. It's going to be a lot of fun in South Africa. Here's some listener mail. OTW@2600 is our email address. We love to hear from our listeners. We were talking about Des Moines last week. We had a special guest on from Des Moines, Washington. Yeah. Des Moines is French. Des is a plural form of the, and Moines equals monks. That's according to Jean-Philippe, and with that name, I'm going to believe you. So Des Moines means a couple of monks. Why would you name a town after a couple of monks? Don't get that at all. Last week's show was amazing, says Christopher. It was the way it flowed. Fantastic. It'll be the show I play tomorrow at work to expose people to alternative forms of thought. I can relate to this, and it will help me to translate it, to get it across. Alternative, freestyle, radical forms, art and thought, logic of process, Raider of the Lost Art forms. Cheers. Okay, thank you, Low Owl, for those. I guess I gave you a name and your handle. Well, you signed both, so thanks for that letter. OTW@2600.com is our email address. And we like to hear criticism and praise and all sorts of other fun things along the way. So a couple of calls there, but, you know, you got to stay on the line. Otherwise, there's little point in us going into delay. It's painful to go into delay. It really is. It hurts. Because anytime you flick switches on this board, things might happen. So you have to be very careful. 631-632-9872. Remember, next week we're going to be asking for you to call in and pledge. And that's going to be harder. That's going to be harder than just calling in and just talking. All right. Hear this story? The gun-toting soccer mom. I didn't even know about this person, but apparently this woman was showing up at children's soccer games, showing the gun that she was allowed to carry. She made national headlines having a loaded, holstered handgun at her 5-year-old daughter's soccer game. Well, guess what? She's been found shot dead in her home along with her husband. Yeah. Information from 911 calls shows that it took a SWAT team nearly an hour and a half to gain entry to the Lebanon, Pennsylvania home Wednesday evening. And inside, they found the bodies of Melanie Hain and her husband, Scott. Police have avoided labeling the incident a murder-suicide. However, they do not believe that another person was involved. You're going to have to... You can't have it both ways. It's got to be a murder-suicide then. Or maybe a double suicide. Is that possible? Or double murder. There's a limited number of ways you can categorize this. Or maybe just two very clumsy people. Not to make light of this, but my God, I mean, is this so surprising? This is exactly, when people give you all these statistics and they say that there are plenty of people walking around with concealed carry licenses and they're all pretty much sane people, they're not. There's lots of insane people out there. And the more you have people carrying guns around, the more things like this are going to happen. Sure, there are lots of sane people, lots of people that know what they're doing. But when you encourage every Tom, Dick, and Harry to walk around carrying a piece, eventually somebody's going to get into an argument, and weaponry will be displayed as a threat. Somebody the other day was having trouble getting their iPhone fixed, and they waved a pistol or something at the person. They were legally allowed to carry it, but they got so angry that they were threatening. I think they were threatening to shoot the iPhone. Not the person. But regardless, it's still a threat. It's still something intimidating involving firearms. These kinds of things happen all the time. These are the stories you don't hear about. Well, these are two of the stories you did hear about, but there are other stories you don't hear about because these things happen all the time. You really only hear about it when there's death and destruction, things like that. But whenever you have people carrying firearms, it's intimidating. You stand next to a cop in a 7-Eleven. You can't tell me you don't feel anything. You know, you're standing next to this guy's weaponry, whatever it is, and you know that it could be used at a moment's notice. It could be used on you. Accidentally, on purpose, who knows? So when you have everybody around you in that status, well, it's something that can it can really affect the way you act. Make you a bit jittery. And then you've got to get your own weapon, and then it just gets out of control. Now, you know, this is not me saying ban guns and ban weapons and things like that. This is me saying use some common sense, and that was not common sense. And what a lot of people do is just stupid, destructive. All right. I got a bunch of calls coming in, so I'm going to go into delay, as promised. And again, let me give out the phone number, which is 631-632-9872. Let's have an ID to get us into delay land, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Mira, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Here we are, back in delay land. That went rather smoothly, didn't it? Yeah. It's 33 minutes after 6 o'clock. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. I suspect somebody in the other room is picking up the phones and putting them on hold. Is that right? Yeah, I think someone's doing that. Okay, well, that's okay. I'll let it go for now. But let's you heard me 6 seconds later because I'm on delay. Let's take some phone calls, see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm right now in Port Jefferson.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Pretty local. Yeah, I just was talking about, I know you were talking about the World Cup and all. I've been paying a lot of attention to that. That's mm-hmm. actually very interesting stuff. I just wish more people would pay more attention to it.
Right. A lot of people do pay attention. The media doesn't pay a lot of attention, but when you have there's an exhibition game with the Real Madrid in Los Angeles over the summer that drew more people than any soccer game ever in this country, I think like 100,000 people, and that's more than American football draws. So people pay attention, but you're just not getting the support in the mass media that you would expect.
Well, I think American football is becoming the new. People are following now. Americans are following American football more so than they're following baseball, because baseball, I guess, is beginning to be a snore.
Well, you know, I honestly think baseball is more exciting than football, because it's you know, there's a lot of strategy going on. There are all kinds of infinite possibilities. American football, that to me is the most boring thing in the world, because you just have these big, massively overdressed people constantly just running into each other, throwing a ball, then a timeout for the next 8 minutes, and they try it again. And it's just, you know, I don't understand how they can wear all these helmets and basically protection everywhere, where people in other countries play rugby and Irish football and no rules football and things like that, wearing shorts, and somehow wind up walking away from it.
Well, because most of the guys there are not 6'5 and 300 pounds. It's real simple. Your average European is built that way. It's a car accident every 30 seconds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that could be. Well, maybe we should be encouraging those people to play these games instead of the big, massively overweight people.
That would be interesting, too. What about the Chicago not getting the Olympics?
Well, yeah, that's something else Obama's being blamed for, isn't it? He took time out to go to Denmark and plead the case, and then lost, which is proof that he has no international support. And then the Nobel Peace Prize comes a week after. You know what? I wasn't in support of the Olympics coming to New York City, because I thought it'd be a tremendous waste of money, and I don't understand why cities want the Olympics to come. Because it just, you wind up spending all of this money and you wind up losing all this money. And I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. I mean, yeah, I guess it's good for public relations and your image and that kind of thing. But I think it's a waste.
I look at it this way. If he had not gone and tried to fight for it, he would be chastised for that. Okay, I really don't think anybody's blaming him for the Olympics not going to Chicago, because would they have like a murder that day or something like that, or it was something silly that went on there?
Yeah, a lot of silliness.
Right, and not only that, Brazil's probably going to be a lot more fun anyhow.
Uh-huh.
But that's another story.
Yeah, where did it wind up going? It wound up going to Brazil.
I think it was Brazil.
Yeah, Sao Paulo got it. Well, you know, was it Sao Paulo? Well, whoever got it in Brazil, yeah, it's the first time ever that it'll be held in Latin America.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That would be a lot more fun to go in Chicago any day, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, anything else on your mind?
No, that's pretty much it. I'll let somebody else get on. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your call. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, sir.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Selvin, Jeff, you regular caller over the years. How are you?
Well,
you know, I guess back top of the show, I missed after opening 15 minutes. I then missed your closing. But I'll respond to what I heard. I mean, I'll try to give it to here's a big historical brush, okay?
All right.
In terms of the criticism of Obama on the issue of national security, okay? They being the Republicans, and from the Republicans you have mainline Republicans, a little crazy Republicans, crazier than teabaggers, than John Birch Society, and there you go, okay? If that's 20 million people in America, it's just 20 million, not three. There are 300 million of us, okay? They've got 20 million. That's one big picture. Okay, next big picture. Although they did get 62 million. The election still was 67 to 62 million. If I remember.
Wait, when you say it's 3 million of us, I'm not sure who you mean.
Okay, Say again.
Yeah. Okay. You said there's 20 million of them and 3 million of us. Is that what you said?
300 million.
Million
of us.
Okay, 300 million people.
But they did get 62. The election broke down 62 million versus 67 in the sense of Democrats versus
uh-huh.
Republicans. So
right.
In that 62 million are the 20 million Rush Limbaughs. Okay.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah. So,
20 million Rush Limbaughs. Oh my God. Oh, okay, that's an image.
I'm going to say that there are 20 million who are of the whether they're fundamental whether they're driven by their fundamentalist Christian agenda or their John Birch Society. That's the only thing I'm saying here, Eric. The John Birch Society hasn't gone anywhere. It's just at different degrees. When they start talking about national security, that's anti-communist Cold War John Birch Society rhetoric. Nothing different. 60 years later, same rhetoric. That's how they got Reagan in and Bush, and mm-hmm. then Bush again for it with the terrorist cola. So they got five presidents, right?
Okay.
Five terms based on that.
All right, so we know this. So okay, what's your point?
You say we know this, but okay, in terms of you start by saying they're criticizing, okay, or I guess he's getting his criticism from them. On the Nobel Peace thing, right? Hello, so you know any kind of attempt at cooperation is then you know cooperation or compromise regarding let's say you know the world military situation is being used by the John Birch Society / the Republican Party as Democrats are weak on defense. Same phrase for 60 years.
Yeah, right, of course,
weak
of course.
Defense.
Right. So, yeah, you're not saying anything I'm disagreeing with, so I'm not sure what
chunk of what we're talking. Of the nonsense that's going, there's no real, there's no, they have an agenda. They're not interested in the country at all. Okay, this is just a political agenda. Now the crazy thing is you could say, why are these human beings, okay, let me tie that to what that means in terms of people making money. If there's a defense industry, mm-hmm. okay, this is just like when the disruptions of the, town hall meetings, when those people were exposed to be people who worked at the insurance company over the last 4 years have been trained, you know, to do this, you'll get a bonus, whatever. These are the people who were employed. They have a vested economic self-interest, is the only point. So
right.
Likewise,
right.
with the military industrial complex, they're, you know, not all the John Birchers are tied to it. They brought a conspiracy thing about, you know, communism and the enemy, okay? But other people are tied, let's say more mainstream Republicans,
mm-hmm.
they are tied, plain and simple, to defense contracts. Right.
Okay, well, there are a number of people who are tied to these things who have vested interests. I'm more concerned with the people who don't have these vested interests and are just buying into it
that's
and are
right.
being convinced.
Okay.
Those are the people I'm worried about.
And I'm saying, that's what I included that group as what's up with that? How, you know, you can say there are, you know, why are they, well, we have the one thing, the ideological thing. That's not about economic self-interest. That's about this invented fear of communism in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you notice, When Beck first came on the air, you know, a couple, you know, back in, you know, 5 months or whatever, I hear him talking about SEIU and money to the unions. Hello, this is where America began. You have two politicians. One is for the workers, one for the bosses. What's Glenn Beck's first objection? SEIU. You know, and then money to the unions. Right. That's the two parties. And that brings back to your point. Why are these people who are willing to side with the bosses? There aren't enough. There should not, logic would dictate, be enough of them.
All right, listen, we're going to move on.
All right, man.
Thanks. Thanks for your opinions there. They were strong opinions. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Islip.
Okay, what's on your mind?
I've been listening to the program. I'm driving. I have no idea who you are, and I just pulled over, and I saw that it was 90.1.
Okay.
It's good to hear an opinion that's not coming from a Democratic, Republican, independent, black, or white point of view.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I fit into absolutely no categorization. That's kind of cool, I guess.
You know, you sound like you're a person that, you know, is living life, and what is good, I don't care what party you belong to or what race you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
What worked for people has nothing to do with your party.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, I never fit into any party or even any group of people, so I basically just try to speak my mind. I think that's what most people should try to do. And not worry about who it is they're allied with. I guarantee you, everything I've said tonight is going to piss off somebody from all angles of politics. I think that's the only way to really get to the heart of the matter.
But in listening to you, you know, we've got the Fox News slant. You know, we've got the newspaper slant. We've got the party slant. Everybody wants somebody to blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we need to look to ourselves and ask ourselves, are we doing enough? If we believe in something, are we doing enough to actually get that viewpoint out there? And I think in most cases, we're not.
No, we aren't. We really aren't. We want to choose sides. We want to join somebody and choose sides, which is not the way to go. Like you said in your broadcast, if it works, it works. I don't care who implements it. I don't care where it comes from. But people aren't, I think people have forgotten that we're all interrelated, interacting.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to stand as an individual that belongs to something, you know, and whatever they belong to, they'd like to believe that that's the be-all, do-all, and the final word, which it isn't.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true. And we have to engage in a dialogue, too. We can't simply condemn certain types of people as this type of person, and I'm not even going to acknowledge their existence or talk to them. That's not the way to get anything done. You have to reach out and try and get your viewpoint out there, try to convince people, have these discussions, don't hold back, you know, otherwise nothing ever will change.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate your point of view. I will listen to the program. I don't know what time you come on. I get off work at 6 o'clock.
Ah, perfect. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7.
Every Tuesday, 6 to 7. Count on me.
All right.
I love the program.
All right, thanks. You drive safe now.
I knew a person like you existed.
All right, that's good to hear. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
All right. They've heard rumors that somebody like me existed, yes. I know, most people express that in fear, but it's good to hear a positive view. All right, our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Please give us a call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from West Hampton.
West Hampton, great. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, you've hit on a couple of things. One thing you didn't mention in the opening, maybe you did, I might have missed it, is global warming. We got to blame him for that, too.
Yeah, I guess we might as well, you know, although I keep hearing people say, hey, it's cold today, so I guess global warming doesn't exist, so much for that, you know.
He's got to fix that, too, but I think what I really want to talk about is you said, you know, people have to get involved and you know, you look back at the days of the protests of the Vietnam War or the Kent State thing, and people got out on the streets and they protested and raised their hands and, you know, this isn't right and this isn't right. But I'll tell you, in this day and age of computers and the Internet and video games and all those things that keep people sheltered inside their homes, no one goes out. So where are they going to storm the streets and go to Washington? And, you know, I mean, back in those days, you know, a lot more free time. There wasn't, you know, kids have to be somewhere after school. I've got to get them over here. I've got to pick them up over there.
Yeah,
and
you know,
get to this and get to the homework. And it's a different life.
We have
so,
just as much free time.
Protesting is a little tough.
Right, but we have just as much free time today as we've ever had. It's just a question of priorities. And if we have to be in chat rooms and, like, you know, virtual reality or whatever people are doing these days, that's a choice. But we could be outside. We could be going places in person. We could be showing our strength in numbers. And I think that's something that if we, you know, if we replace that with the Internet or some kind of virtual representation, it's a big mistake. There's no substitute for actual in-person representation.
I agree. I mean, I'm on your side. I'm not saying that we can. I'm just saying
right.
It's a reality that we're shut in and our work days have gone from 8-hour work days to 9-hour work days and longer commutes. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a little tougher. I would love to see Barack actually take the health care thing, turn it on its ear, make it a stronger platform, and then combat global warming, and then say, okay, we're getting out of Iraq. We're not going into Afghanistan. Why can't he just stand up? Why can't we just leave anywhere? Why can't we just do that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've never run a war myself, but I imagine that pulling out of a country takes a bit of, I mean, it did in Vietnam. It did when the Soviets were in Afghanistan. And as far as I can see, I don't see any about face as far as pulling out of Iraq. It seems like we are, in fact, doing that. Not as fast as I would like, certainly, but we are doing that. Afghanistan is something I've always disagreed with Obama on. He seems to think that that's something that is necessary, and I think it's a big waste of time, and eventually we're going to reach that conclusion. So I don't expect any pullout from there. But the thing to keep in mind is that's an action that was started by George W. Bush. So the people that are criticizing him, the right-wingers are criticizing Afghanistan policy, you know, it's really kind of makes me realize that no matter what he does, they're going to be criticizing it because they were in support of that only a few years ago. So I don't know. The whole war thing is a mixed bag.
Well, you're right. He's darned if he does and damned if he doesn't. So,
absolutely.
Nice talking with you, bro. Keep up the good work.
Take care. And let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing, Manuel? This
Hi.
Is Jeff Black.
Jeff, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Shirley, actually.
You know, all our calls tonight have been local, with not a single one on the Internet, so I'm wondering if the stream is down yet again. It's possible.
I don't know.
Well, okay, what's on your mind?
Well, long time, first time. Love your show.
Thanks.
My beef is basically with the station. The past two times I've tried to make pledges,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've asked for the pledge form to be sent to my house so I could send the check in. I never received them from the
really?
Station. So I'm just urging everybody when the pledge drive comes up, you know, my suggestion to the listenership is just to have them take it right out of your account. Just give them the number right there over the phone. Don't waste your time with the pledge forms.
Yeah, you know, I work for another radio station, too. We have the same problems. When you have volunteers, people coming in, this is what we do for a living, obviously. Mistakes will be made, and these kinds of problems will happen. We just ask people to be patient insofar as how things get filled out, how quickly things get fulfilled. The most important thing to realize is that we are all volunteers here. We're doing the best we can, and that we're trying to keep the station on the air. And that should be the real reason why people call in to support. And by the way, you know, it's open to people in the community to come by and volunteer and answer phones themselves and get involved with the radio station. That's the beauty of a place like this.
No, that's great, and that's good to know. And, you know, I don't mean to come down too hard on the staff you got there. I mean, I love USB. I listen to the station nonstop. You know, I've been a long-time supporter. But, you know, just something I wanted to bring up and just, let people know. I think it would be easier if you just have them take it out of your account right then and there.
Yeah, well, it's easier for us, certainly, unless we get the numbers wrong. But that's definitely the quickest way, using credit cards and whatnot. But, thanks for your support.
No problem, man. Have a good night.
Thanks. 631-632-9872. See how much more time we have for calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm in Port Jeff again.
Okay.
I called earlier, and one thing I forgot to mention is I think the reason why they had not pulled out of Afghanistan, is because I think he probably in the back of his mind still wants to take into custody the person responsible for 9/11. Certain people have forgotten about that. I could walk down the street and ask five people, and the only thing they can tell me is, yeah, it happened on 9/11. Everybody forgets what year and all of that.
People forget what year 9/11 happened? Is that really true?
I've done it a couple of times.
You forget that it's 2001?
A lot of people have, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. Although, you know, a friend of mine I met, I obviously met him before, but last week I realized that he'd never heard a Beatles song or wasn't familiar with them. And you have to wonder, all these gaps in knowledge. I mean, I certainly have a lot of gaps in knowledge, but things that you assume people know, they don't know.
Right, well, something like that. But I'm guessing that he probably, like every red-blooded American, left-wing, right-wing, center, left of center, right of center, everybody wants to see the 9/11, the people responsible for 9/11. I don't want to say avenge. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but they want to see people brought to justice. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. This is something I've been working on for quite some time. As you might know, I'm completely crazy when it comes to archiving things. That's how I have all the shows from years ago. I did the same thing when I was a kid. I recorded things off the radio. I recorded people around me. And one of the things I recorded was something on the radio involving a bombing at LaGuardia Airport. Have you ever heard about this? In 1975, LaGuardia Airport was bombed. Did you know this?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, LaGuardia Airport was in a luggage carousel or a luggage locker. This bomb went off. 12 people were killed. And I was listening to this. I recorded the radio for, I think, like an hour or so. And there are all kinds of reports coming in. The weird thing is, on the radio, they were breaking for other news stories. I mean, this is a local radio station. LaGuardia Airport has just been bombed, yet they still have time to go on to other stories. You didn't have the kind of 100% all networks covering 24 hours a day type of thing that you do now. But the interesting thing about this is that I looked it up to find out what ever happened with that. They never figured out who did the bombing. They never caught the people.
Well, it sounds to me that that might be the same thing that's going to go on the reference 9/11. I'll tell you what, I don't think in my lifetime I'll ever see anything put up there in its place because of the squabbling that's going on. That's another thing.
That is insane. That is a testament to how we don't get things done because we spend all this time complaining. That's sort of the theme of today, I guess. Basically, all this complaining, you don't get anything done. You just wind up throwing volleys back and forth between sides, and you wind up with a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, but I think, once again, just to sort of tie it all up, I think they want to pretty much get the people who are responsible for 9/11 brought to justice. And I don't think any I hope that no American will rest until that happens. But
well, yeah, but, you know, I'd also like to know that we got the right people and not just the people that we're told were responsible for it. I'm not one of these 9/11 truthers that think there's a whole big vast conspiracy that was going on for years and nobody's talking. You know, it's not that simple. It's not a TV show. We can find who's responsible. There's great ways of analyzing evidence and things like that. It seems weird to me that we can't find particular people that we claim exist and are in a particular part of the world.
Well, that's true, too. Jack Bauer, I'm sure he'd get to the bottom of it.
Jack Bauer would have it done inside the first part of the season, and then he'd be on to a bigger plot.
Yeah. All righty, then.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
So, yeah, it's fascinating going through old tapes, you know. I'm glad I recorded these things, but back in the 70s, as a kid, recording off the radio and hearing how things sounded different, how it wasn't all so polished and slick, you know, and people basically had variety on the FM dial, on the AM dial. I mean, we still complained about it. It still wasn't great, but it was something. It was better than it is now. And just seeing how the news was reported is fascinating. The fact that there was a bombing on Wall Street, there was a bombing at LaGuardia Airport, and you know, there was a plane hijacking, this all happened within a year in New York. That someone hijacked a plane, get this, someone hijacked a plane from LaGuardia Airport to Chicago, took the plane overseas to Paris, and these were a bunch of Croatian nationalists who simply wanted to throw pamphlets out the window. I don't know how you do that in an airplane, but they wanted to just drop pamphlets over various cities. They didn't have any real guns or explosives. However, to prove that the guns and explosives that they had were real, which they weren't, but to fool people into thinking they were, they planted a real bomb in Grand Central Terminal. And then a cop got killed trying to defuse it. Yeah, so whole big story. And the only reason the people went to prison was because of that cop being killed. Because they committed air piracy and somebody died as a result. So had they not done that, they probably would have gotten away with a very light sentence. But it's just fascinating to realize that all this happened inside of a year in New York City. And we somehow made it through that. We didn't panic. We didn't go crazy. We didn't change all the rules. And it sort of went away on its own. Went away because other things changed, not because we created new departments and new rules and had people walking around with machine guns. That's not what stopped it. What stopped it was changing times, changing desires of people, and things like that. But, yeah, I'm continuing to go through these tapes. You know, if anyone has any advice for me, there's one tape I've hit that just will not play no matter what I do. I've moved it into a different cassette case, but no matter what, it just slows down and comes to a stop. I don't know what to do about this. So if anyone has any ideas or suggestions, please write to me. OTW@2600.com. History is in the balance on this. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for calling in, for writing in. Remember, next week we'll be doing our fundraiser. Tomorrow night on Off the Hook, we're going to have the Yes Men on. That's going to be fun. That's a fundraiser, too, so be sure to tune in 7 o'clock on VAI. We'll be back again next week for our fundraiser. See you then. Good night.
Mad about to bust.